Bob, good to meet you.
You don't look dangerous.
Oh, I'm not.
You're very dangerous. You're a threat to America. You're a threat to Christianity. You're a threat to everything.
Gee, you make me feel so important.
Well, I think you are. You look like nothing sitting there. I mean, you could be...
Could be something.
You could be the gym class teacher.
Could be a lot of things.
Well, you are a lot of things. That's the problem. But you look like such a nice guy.
Well, I try my best. Should I put...
What's a man? Do what?
Should I put these on?
You'll need to put those on. And listen, you're going to need to get real close. Somebody straighten out that microphone on him real quick. He needs to point straight at him. Yeah. No, I'll get it. Now, we need you to get real close to that one about the insurance.
Talk back with Bob Larson in 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4.
He hails Hitler as a hero and is a personal friend of Charlie Manson. By the time he was 14, James Mason was a card-carrying member of the American Nazi Party. Today, he is the founder and leader of an occult fascist organization known as the Universal Order. Manson is just one of a growing number of Americans who have joined the revolution of neo-Nazi Satanism.
Live, Talk Back, with best-selling author and commentator Bob Larson.
Good afternoon, America. Welcome to Talk Back with Bob Larson. I'll be here for the next hour talking about what's on my mind and hearing from you about what's on your mind. My topic today is neo-Nazi Satanism. We're going to be talking to those of you who are neo-Nazi Satanist skinheads or Mansonites, followers of Charlie Manson and the family. That's right. If you are a neo-Nazi, a Satanist, a skinhead, or a Charlie Mansonite, I want you to pick up the phone right now and call me at 1-800-821-TALK. Canada Collect 303-980-6555. Seated across from me in the studio today is Mr. James Mason, founder of the Universal Order. This guy became interested in Adolf Hitler at 13 years of age. At 14, he joined George Lincoln Rockwell's American Nazi Party. Ran away from home at 16 to live at the headquarters of the American Nazi Party. He's been involved in all kinds of nationalist socialist groups. And he says he's fed up with the progress of Nazism in America, and so he's become more radical. He's a terrorist interested in Charlie Manson and the family. In fact, it was Charlie Manson who, in jail, recommended to this man the name the Universal Order for all of his subversive activities. Occult fascism is that branch of occultism that believes in an Aryan elite society which will someday rule the earth. And I read to you from my Book of Abaddon, page 38. Mark said, I'm part of an occult crime task force. I took a seminar in this sort of thing a couple of weeks ago where an expert explained some of the signs of occult involvement. For example, look at these symbols around the edge of this page. West rose to his feet and leaned over Mark's shoulder. I thought it was just doodling. Is it supposed to mean something? That circle with an A and it stands for anarchy. And look over there at the bottom of the page. Well, that's a swastika, West exclaimed. What's all of this got to do with Nazism? Mark turned on a lamp on the white nightstand, which matched the bed and dresser. He held the notebook closely to the light and pointed again to the swastika. If you'll look closer, you'll see it superimposed over what's known as a Baphomet, an upside-down pentagram, one of the most powerful occult symbols representing evil. The two symbols together show the link between fascism and the cult. In fact, right now, we're investigating several cult groups in town that recruit kids by going to places where white supremacist skinheads hang out. Is this stuff for real? Is it to be taken seriously? You're going to hear today from neo-Nazi Satanist skinheads and the followers of Charlie Manson.
The following program contains adult material. Please use discretion concerning younger children.
He believed that Christ and Satan had resolved their enmity and came together for the end of the world. Charlie Manson said Christ is the judge of humanity, Satan the executor of the judgments made by Jesus. To fulfill this fiendish philosophy, Charles Manson commissioned his followers to commit heinous crimes. He's currently serving a life sentence for the brutal 1969 slaying of actress Sharon Tate.
It was
in August of 1969, that Charlie Manson precipitated a bloodbath in paradise.
You're coming home. There's blood on the wall.
Coming home, there's blood on the walls, and Charlie and the family have made house call, says Ozzy Osbourne. Charlie and the family might get you. Hear them in the darkness, Helter Skelter. Murdered on two nights, pregnant actress Sharon Tate. Coffee heiress Abigail Folger, wealthy supermarket president Lino LaBianca. And this guy's an antisocial rebellion, a schizophrenic psychopath. But what does my guest say of him? My guest says Charlie's a hero. He's met with followers like Squeaky Fromm. He praises them for their attempts to assassinate President Ford. As a matter of fact, the man sitting across from me in the studio today says, and I quote, Charles Manson is the greatest living philosopher of revolution in the world. Now, those of you in the radio audience can't envision what's going on in this studio today. The man seated across from me has this nice little goatee mustache, but from there on, he looks highly respectable. He's sitting there in a nice brown pinstripe suit, respectable white button-down shirt. I walked in the studio a moment ago, and I said, you are a dangerous man. You don't look dangerous. And, sir, I think that's what's most dangerous about you. I mean, look at you. You could be, in fact, you look like an accountant. You, or the high school gym teacher. You were a teacher at one time.
No.
You weren't a teacher. I understood that you were a teacher. No, you never were a teacher.
No.
You've just always been a revolutionary.
Yes, professional revolutionary.
Professional revolutionary. Talk straight into that microphone there. I want people to hear what you have to say because you are one of the most outrageous people that I have ever met in my life, and your writings are absolutely outrageous. Now, I hope I got you quoted correct. You believe that Charlie Manson's the greatest living philosopher of revolution?
Absolutely.
Charlie Manson?
Absolutely. So who then, if not Charlie Manson?
Try Jesus Christ, because he brought a revolution of the soul and of the heart to redeem the world.
Ah, but his revolution has played itself out.
Christ has played himself out.
It's been compromised from within.
What do you mean by that?
It's been turned rotten. This is a Christian nation. It's a Christian Western world. And look how rotten it is and how sinking in the filth and the mud it is. And everybody's helpless to do anything about it.
No, we're not helpless to do anything about it because lives are being changed every day by the gospel of Jesus Christ. Drug addicts are being set free. Lesbians and homosexuals are going straight. And people who are bought into revolutionary hate philosophy like you are being changed by Christ.
But for every one that is so-called set free, there are 10 more to take their place.
And you are recruiting them?
We offer them a realistic alternative.
What is the realistic alternative?
Well, something more than pie in the sky.
Pie in the sky?
Yes.
How about Charlie Manson? That's an alternative?
That is the alternative.
Do you believe he's going to lead this revolution from within, without? How is he going to do it?
His philosophy. How is Jesus leading his revolution after having been dead for 2,000 years.
But not by an ideology, by his living presence inside our soul. And that's the difference. Does Charlie's spirit live inside you?
As much as Jesus lives inside of you.
The spirit of Charlie Manson is as much in you as Jesus is in me?
The philosophy.
What is the philosophy of Charlie Manson?
Universal order.
Universal order.
Universal order.
This is the symbol of your organization,
right here. The scales of justice, perfectly balanced.
No. The scales of justice superimposed with a Nazi swastika.
Well, that is perfect justice.
No, that is not perfect justice. That is the symbol of hate. Hate!
No, the media has made it out
to be... 6 million people dead. Hate, sir!
Well, that's another lie,
oh,
Bob.
Oh, yeah. You're one of those Holocaust revisionists, too.
Yeah.
You change anything that doesn't fit into your narrow, bigoted, hateful mindset.
Oh, no.
You do want to bring about violent revolution.
It's going to happen on its own.
No, that's cute.
No one can stop it. No one.
Charlie Manson.
That is the meaning of Helter Skelter.
What do you mean is the meaning of Helter Skelter?
Violent revolution.
Violent revolution?
With a mind of its own.
What do you want to do with the Jews and the blacks and the African Americans?
We have logical and humane and intelligent programs for repatriating these people to other continents, other parts of the earth.
Get out of America!
Get out of North America, yes.
Get out of America.
We're going to be prevented, of course, from implementing these humane programs.
Humane.
And therefore, Helter Skelter will just burst forth among us.
Wait. What you're saying is that if the blacks and the Jews don't get out, there will be a race war and there will be bloodshed.
Yes, and they will be the cause of it.
Oh, and this is for their benefit?
No, it's self-defense. It's survival.
I apologize to my African American friends for playing this song called Nigger Nigger, but I think it's needed to prove a point. Nigger Nigger, get on the boat! Nigger Nigger, get out of here! Nigger Nigger, go! Row your own way home! I suspect you don't want them to do that. You're willing to give them a free one-way ticket if they'll get out of here, right?
Not only a free one-way ticket, but a very large cash subsidy to each black individual and family.
Oh, where are you going to get that money?
Well, it would be a very small percentage of the present welfare bill and the crime bill and the prison bill.
And what would you like to do to the Jews? What is it you want to do to them? You want to expatriate them, too?
Well, if a real, true National Socialist government were to somehow take power legally in this country, they would be hopping on the first flights.
I'm sure they would.
Just as they did in Germany in 1933.
Can we just stick away from that term, National Socialist? Can we just call it what it is, Nazi? Can you just say Nazi?
Let's call it what it is, National Socialism.
No, it's Nazism.
Nazism is a slang term.
This is from your book, sir. This is a picture of Adolf. This is one of your two heroes.
Absolutely.
Charlie Manson and Adolf Hitler.
Yes.
What type of a creature does this make of you? You write in your book, it was, quote, indeed a damnable shame that Hitler did not kill at least 6 million Jews.
Absolutely so.
And we can shed no tears for any of them.
Yes, because
you wish he would have killed 6 million Jews?
If he had, we wouldn't be stuck with them over here today.
And you also wish that John Hinckley would have shot President Reagan and killed him.
It would have provoked quite a few queries, yes. It would have livened things up a good bit.
Don't use that kind of language on me. It would have enlivened things up.
It would have broken the boredom, if you like another term.
Broken the boredom? If Hinckley would have been successful in murdering President Reagan?
People are bored in this country, Bob. Why do you think soap operas are so popular?
No.
Programs like yours, just to hear people like me.
What is this language that you're using? Putting a bullet through the head of President Reagan would have broken the boredom?
Wasn't necessarily through his head.
Well, anywhere. Would have murdered him. Would have killed him. Would have gotten rid of the boredom.
Reagan was not an important person. You don't understand. These government bureaucrats aren't important people. They're just interchangeable parts
of a
huge machine.
I got one of your flyers here. Mm-hmm. I understand this is a flyer from your book.
Mm-hmm.
Strew the streets with the bodies of the bureaucrats.
Absolutely.
I'll settle for impeaching Clinton. I don't want his body dead on the streets.
The crimes that these people have done to this country and the people of this country, you should not just turn them out of office with a nice pension. That's not good.
Shoot them.
They deserve capital punishment, yes.
Who deserves capital punishment?
Anyone who participates in this government, in this system. Anyone. Any government.
So what you're saying, if the Nazis took over...
They're high criminals.
If the Nazis took over, it would be murder.
It wouldn't be murder.
It would be genocide.
Legally executed.
Legally executed.
Tried and executed. Their crimes would be brought out on national television in front of the people, people would be screaming for their blood.
You are looking at me through those dark-rimmed glasses that make you look like a bean counter. I mean, you look like the local accountant. You look like you ought to be preparing somebody's IRS return.
What should I look like?
You're sitting there in that pinstripe suit.
What should I look like, Bob?
You're advocating murder and terrorism. You're advocating the violent overthrow of the government.
I'm telling you what's on the way, Bob. It wouldn't do me any good to advocate
anything. Clever, sir. I understand people like you and how you manipulate terminology. You're not dealing with a village idiot sitting across from the board over here, sir. Mm-hmm. What you are doing is manipulating manipulating the terminology. You say it in such a way as that you cannot be in any way indicted for demanding that, but you merely speak of it as the inevitable. It's going to come. But you are fomenting it. You are the person advocating it, and there are unstable young people out there who are living screwed up, messed up lives because of a hateful, abusive society who are going to buy into what you say as their hope for the future. That's what's dangerous about you.
It's our constitutional right. It's in the Constitution. If we find ourselves stuck with
to
a tyranny,
the president?
If we find ourselves stuck with a tyranny,
to shoot Reagan?
And a criminal government, that's what's behind to keep and bear arms. If we can't vote them out, then we must shoot them out, just in order to preserve ourselves, to defend ourselves.
You're not only dangerous, you're crazy. There's your picture, teaching in school, but you're not a school teacher.
I was a guest speaker.
In a school?
A guest speaker, yes.
In a public school?
Yes. Sure.
They let you in a public school?
Of course. Year after year, twice a year.
To talk about Nazis? As Wes Bryant peeked out the window, he said, I thought we were, I knew we let witches and lesbians in. I didn't even know that we like kooks like you, too.
We're not on the air, are we?
No, we're not on the air now.
Whatever happened to freedom of speech?
Freedom of speech?
Yeah.
I think the freedom of speech ought to end at the classroom door, because the purpose is to instruct our pupils in what they ought to believe, not a smorgasbord of what they might believe.
Who decides what anybody ought to believe? How do you determine that?
Who decides that?
Yeah, and how do you determine it?
Intelligent, rational people who have a good basis for deciding it.
But the definition of decency varies.
No, it doesn't. Not
from decade to decade.
Not from this book, sir. Not from this book. Bob in Portland. Bob.
Hi.
Hi.
Mr. Mason.
Yes.
I have read your book.
Oh, congratulations.
Well, thank you. And it's definitely the most radical book I've ever read.
We try.
Bar none. The thing that I was wondering is mostly concerns with your involvement during the 70s and the 80s.
Yes.
What do you think today? I know that George Lincoln Rockwell spoke with the Nation of Islam in the 60s.
That was the head of the American Nazi Party.
Right.
Yes, sir, that's true.
At that time,
and he received a standing ovation. It was in Chicago in February of 1962.
Right.
So what's your point, Bob? Get to your point.
That black nationalism and white nationalism are truly the way of the future. Do you think that that the races will split apart in that way, and the revolution would be taken from there against the capitalist machine?
If they're going to survive as races, they'll have to separate.
Bob?
Yes?
Are you lauding this man's book?
Beg your pardon?
Are you saying this is a good book?
This is an excellent book.
This is the book this is a book that this is a book that advocates violent terrorism.
Hey, that's the only way to do it. Democracy is dead.
Sir, you are advocating violent terrorism, and he said he wished the bullet would have killed President Reagan. Do you agree?
Reagan, Ford.
Yes or no? Do you want them all dead?
Yep.
What are you, Bob, besides as crazy and kooky as this guy?
I'm a revolutionary. I believe that the old standards of the left wing and the right wing are dead. I believe that true revolutionism is the only way to go.
And you want Charlie?
Look,
you want Charlie Manson to lead?
The only book that stands up today to true as the true ideology. I believe that anyone who thinks they're radical ought to read this book.
I got Brian on the line right now in Euclid, Ohio. Brian.
Hi there, Bob.
Yes, sir.
I got a couple of points to make. Number one, I'm Jewish. Number two, I am also a believer in Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Well, that makes you doubly hated by the man across from me.
I welcome his hatred.
He's sitting here grinning. This guy, you got to see what this man looks like. I mean, he looks like your local... I don't mean to insult accountants, but he looks like your local accountant. All right, he looks a little bit like a lawyer, too.
Well, you know...
Maybe a low-level lawyer. Certainly nobody who could make it in the firm, but this looks like a low-level lawyer. This looks like somebody who's just...
Heinrich Himmler looked like a chicken farmer.
That's true.
He was a chicken farmer. On the side.
I stand corrected.
This man is smiling. He's grinning.
And I just brought this...
At the other end of the phone line, at the other end of the phone line, James is a man who's Jewish.
Yes.
You want him dead?
He's a racial alien.
A what?
A racial alien.
You're an alien to intelligence and civility, sir.
So say you, Bob.
Are you saying I'm E.T. or something?
You're more E.T. than E.T.
Just because he's Jewish?
Yes.
You know what God says about this, sir? Have you bothered to read the book? Genesis, no, listen to Genesis. I will make of thee a great nation. I will bless thee. And thou shalt be a blessing. I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him who curses you.
And in case you don't think that applies anymore, think of what's happened to every nation that has persecuted the Jewish people. Where's Greece? Where's Rome?
They died in racial degeneration.
Where Nazi Germany?
Sir, you are cursed. You are cursed.
Funny, I don't feel cursed.
You don't have to feel cursed because you have so immunized your soul to any spiritual touch from God. You have so seared your soul by the hate which has consumed it, you don't have any ability to feel it right now. And that's the sad part about it.
Well, I appreciate your sympathy, Bob.
I'm not offering you sympathy. I'm offering you a warning. The Bible says you're cursed. You are cursed.
Somehow, I'm not too concerned.
Well, there's a merciful and gracious God who is not slack concerning his promises, but is long-suffering, and he's not willing that any should perish, that all should come to repentance. And the gentleman that you're talking to right now is blessed, doubly blessed, because he is a child of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.
More.
And he is blessed additionally because he's part of the vine grafted in, and he is a joint heir with Jesus Christ, too. He is doubly blessed. You're doubly, triply, quadruply cursed. I want to ask you what the Third Reich is today. If it was so great, if Hitler was so wonderful, in your book you talk about him leading people to victory. He didn't lead them to the victory. He died.
People.
He died at his own hands in a bunker.
And how did Jesus wind up? Hanging from a cross.
He rose from an empty tomb and is alive evermore at the right hand of the Father.
In one sense, I could say the same thing about Hitler.
Hitler what?
Only on a larger
Hitler's
sense.
At the left hand of the devil in the pit of hell screaming out for a drop of water on his tongue, sir.
This is what the Jews were saying about Jesus 2,000 years ago, that he was in boiling excrement.
You're not dealing with
the
issue.
At the bottom of hell. That is the issue.
You're not dealing. The issue is if what Hitler did was so wonderful, if the Third Reich was so great, if killing the Jews was so wonderful, where is Nazi Germany today? It failed. Hitler was destroyed.
The forces of right
brought him down.
Now, the forces of evil brought him down. The nations of the world, controlled by people like this gentleman on the line here, the Jews of the world who sit in control of all the nations of the earth, the advanced nations, that is, succeeded in getting these nations to go kill Germany. For the same reason the Jews 2,000 years ago got the Romans to go kill Jesus.
The Bible says the Lord's portion is his people. Jacob is the lot of his inheritance. He found them in a desert land, in the waste, howling wilderness. He led them about. He instructed them. He kept them as the apple of his eye. I have to assume, sir, that you are the cherry pit of the devil's vomit, not the apple of God's eye. Jake in Midland.
Yes, hello there. How are you today?
What's on your mind, sir?
Well, I'd like to introduce myself. I have a piece of literature that you might be interested in hearing. First of all, I'm from Order of Fenrir.
Yeah?
It's an occult, fascist, social Darwinist, satanic intelligentsia.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd like to say...
Satanic intelligentsia. Excuse me, sir. If you're satanic, you don't have any intelligence.
Whatever. And I'd like to tell to your guests...
If you're Nazi, you don't have any intelligence.
I'd like to tell, you believe in some mythological fairy tale.
No, I believe in Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, who has changed my life and who has the power to change you too, sir. Get to your point quickly.
I'd like to tell two things to the guy there. First of all, I'd like to say that I'm going to pick up your siege book soon. And are you anyway affiliated with Storm, who sells your siege book?
Yes. We have Storm in the studio with us today.
Yeah, we got some members of Storm. These are the cult fascists who are sitting in the other room over there. Look at them. They don't look like nice people at all. They're kind of waving at me. They got a slight grin on their face. They're all dressed in black. Now they're waving at me. Those are the people you hang out with. You see, this guy comes in here in this brown pinstripe suit. As I said, he looks like you. I got it. You could look like the local anesthesiologist, too, okay? You could look like a... You know what you look like?
No, tell me.
You look like a Baptist preacher from Alabama.
Well, they make a lot more money than I do, I'm sure.
You've got this. Those guys in the other room, they just look bad. I mean, they just look bad. You see those guys coming, you do not want your daughter marrying one of them. But
Better one of them than a black.
You just couldn't resist that, could you?
No, I couldn't.
I would rather a daughter marry a black than one of them, because those are devil's disciples.
Lord help you, Bob.
A black born again Christian who loves Jesus and filled with the Spirit.
You would rather see a
oh, I see. This is
you
what
would rather see some kind of a mulatto mongrel who happens
to
thump a Bible than a beautiful, healthy, white child?
I thought you'd say swinging from trees. Race traitors. This is one of your pieces of literature from your book. It says race traitors.
Yes.
This is a nation. Race traitors. White persons consorting with blacks. You believe that if you came to power, anybody who consorts with blacks should be murdered by public hanging. It's right there.
You know, if it weren't for this huge police force we have in this country, Bob, that sort of thing would be going on today, and it would have been going on for so long that these mixed couples wouldn't dare show their face in public.
Tell me what a Nazi is. What is a Nazi?
It's a National Socialist.
Oh, don't give me that definition. What do you believe?
If you love your country, you're a nationalist.
Don't give me that.
If you love your people, your question.
Don't give me that patriotic claptrap. Give me what your four or five basic beliefs are. Jews, hate blacks.
Your patriotism, that simply means love of fatherland. And we believe our fatherland is our blood. Wherever the white man goes and sets down his roots, whatever lands he conquers, such as America, that's our fatherland. But we carry our fatherland in our blood wherever we go, and that's what we believe in.
And this is your fatherland.
Of course. Who else founded America except whites?
Blacks.
They were brought over here like horses and donkeys.
Blacks were here as human beings, too, sir. They might have been enslaved.
They were counted in the census in those days. They were counted as three.
Sir, they were here as human beings.
Of a human being.
And blacks also spilled their blood to free this country and to keep it free.
They were over here as animals.
And what about the Native American Indians who were here first?
They got pushed aside.
Jack is on the line in East Boston. Jack, I am furious. I am outraged. This man is making me so upset, so angry.
Sir, my friends, a few historical tidbits. Sir, have you ever heard of Charles Drew?
Never have.
Charles Drew, sir, was an American black.
I need to talk straight into the mic there, sir. Thanks. Go ahead.
Drew was an American black.
I suspect that he might be.
Who was instrumental in expediting plasma separation. This man was killed, sir, in North Carolina because a all-white North Carolina hospital would not let that man go to that hospital because he was black. Had that man lived, had segregation not existed, think of all the lives he would have saved. I am anti-racist for my own safety's sake. Further, sir, my great-grandfather died in front of Madrid in 1939 fighting people like you. He was killed by fascist artillery fire.
Yes, he was fighting on the side of the communists.
My great-grandmother went into the hills with a machine gun and kept fighting fascism until the Italian people took Mussolini and Clara Petacci and hung them, sir.
Communists, not the Italian people.
No,
communists.
No, it was the Italian people.
It was communists, Red Brigade.
Italian fascist party.
And you are a communist, sir.
And thirdly, if Adolf Hitler was so great, why is it his own generals tried to kill him?
They were cowards, and not all of them did. Those that tried to kill him were cowards, and they were trying to back out of the war.
And let me also tell you this, sir. J.B.S. Haldane once said, it's environment that affects civilization. That is why Africa never reached the urban acme that Europe did. Furthermore, places like Timbuktu, long before Harvard or Cambridge or Oxford ever had universities, it was a university town, sir, which specialized in selling books.
Well, they also could get in Alexandria, Egypt, but then this man doesn't want to deal with that.
Let me ask you something, sir. What came first, the ghetto or the black?
I would say the black. The word ghetto is
the
Florentine.
And the blacks, wherever blacks congregate, create ghettos.
I got to break in on you, Jack, and I appreciate your intelligent comments. It's nice to hear some intelligence from somebody around here because they're not getting it in studio today from the other side of this microphone. This is Charlie Manson, sir. This is your hero, Charlie.
Yes.
With a swastika on his forehead.
Yes.
You believe he is the leader of the revolution. He's the most brilliant ideologue of our age. You really believe all this stuff?
There's no question of it.
Charlie Manson.
Yes.
Charlie Manson is a murderer. He's sitting in a prison cell today.
Charlie Manson never killed anyone.
He's a schizophrenic. He was just like you and the rest of you hate mongers. He knows how to manipulate reality and perceptions and language to get other people to do the dirty work with him. It might be argued that Hitler never killed the Jews, too, sir. Certainly sent his henchmen out to do it. He certainly sent Goebbels out to do it. He certainly sent the rest of them out to do it. And that's what is disgusting about people like you. You sit there in your white shirt, button-down, pinstripe, three-piece suit, and you get the rest of the crazy people to go out there and do your bidding. That's what's dangerous about you, sir. 1-800-821-TALK. We're talking about the subject of neo-Nazi Satanism today. Seated across from me, James Mason, founder of the Universal Order, a Nazi organization. He wants violent revolution in America to bloodbath in paradise. Accuses me of being a Jew and a black lover, but he is a Charlie Manson lover.
read a book called Siege. I got a copy of the book in front of me, and I have read this book, sir. I quote from you, we do not wish law and order. We wish for anarchy and chaos. You want anarchy and chaos?
Yes.
You want revolutionary terrorism?
Yes, because as long as law and order is in evil criminal hands, it's the enemy of us all.
You also say you support the most violent acts of terrorism and crown mass murderers and criminals as heroes of the revolution.
We are up against what we would call the beast of the apocalypse, meaning this system, this government, and only the most violent, ruthless methods have any chance at all of removing it.
Are you telling me that Richard Ramirez, the Night Stalker, that Jeffrey Dahmer, the cannibalistic murderer, that these are heroes of your revolution?
That they are the results of this democratic system.
They are the...
I didn't create them. This system created them.
You blame the government for... They're the result of the devil and demon power, sir. They're the result of the forces of darkness.
That's the government.
No, that's not the government. You lay everything at the doorstep of the government. Sir, I want you to know the real problem is not neo-Nazism, even when it comes right down to it. The real problem, sir, is original sin. The original sin that taints your soul and will damn you and send you to hell. That's the real problem in America today.
Well, what is the original sin?
The original sin, sir, is the fall of Adam and Eve. And you know the story.
And what caused that?
Sin.
Not biting into an apple.
The devil, sir. The devil tempted them.
We believe the original sin was race mixing.
Race mixing?
Yes.
Oh, I suppose we're going to... Well, how are you going to get that? How are you going to get that out of the Bible? Well, tell me you're not going to get that out of the Bible, are you?
Wait a minute. Did God create races of man? Or did he create mongrels? Which came first?
Hey, don't
try man,
no,
man in no. his lust... And in his evil lust
you
created
try, no.
mongrelization.
No, don't you try to twist the Bible to me. You don't even believe the Bible. You don't believe that when Charlie Manson sent those people in to kill Sharon Tate, Abigail Folger, and Leno LaBianca, that it was murder.
I'm not sure he sent them in to kill those people.
Oh. Charlie didn't do it.
I don't know. Neither
what
does anyone
the,
else.
What about the... Oh, yes, they do. A court of law has determined that, sir.
No, that was a kangaroo court.
There was no defense. Anything that doesn't fit into you... Well, anybody who considers this schizophrenic psychopath, antisocial, rebellious wacko, Charlie Manson, a hero, I don't trust their judgment about the justice system. And you're not only making him one of your heroes, you make people like John Hinckley, who tried to kill President Reagan, a hero. And here you are with Sandra Good, who tried to shoot Gerald Ford. You're making her into a hero.
She's one of the disciples.
One of the disciples of Charlie.
Yes.
Charlie Manson.
Yes.
What is it about Charlie that you like so much?
He's total honesty, total courage.
So you must love the devil, because the devil is total honesty about what his aims and purposes are in terms of what he seeks to accomplish. The Bible says he comes to kill, steal, and destroy.
Well, that's what's all over this nation. I would say Satan is in the driver's seat, and we do not advocate evil. Evil is in the eye of the beholder.
Oh, that's always cute. That's always cute.
We merely seek to preserve our people.
You believe that mass murderers are heroes? They're bringing about the revolution.
Well, you have to.
You really do believe that?
There's mass murderers on both sides, Bob.
You write in your book, spread a little revolution wherever you go. The system must go.
Yes.
And you also believe in terrorism.
They've left us nothing but that, Bob.
And you believe that as Hitler told his troops, I quote from your book, close your hearts to pity, that we should close our hearts to pity, too.
That's hard for the white man to do. He must be reminded to do that when he's up against a mortal foe.
And what you say about the Jews is the whining about concentration camps is a peacetime parlor room luxury. Sir, you're telling me that putting a Holocaust museum in Washington, D.C. to memorialize Dachau and Buchenwald was nothing more than a little parlor room whining?
It's a memorial to a falsehood. We've seen things like that throughout history. Memorialized falsehood.
All right, now I tried to get you to find Nazism and neo-Nazism a moment ago, and you didn't do a very good job with it, so try again.
You kept cutting me off.
Well, you kept trying to get over into your National Socialist
propaganda. Nazi is a smear term designed by the communists to apply to us.
Well,
we don't call ourselves Nazis. We call ourselves National Socialists.
Yeah, well, I'm going to keep calling you a Nazi the rest of the day.
That's okay. Call me anything you like, Bob. Just don't call me
late for dinner. Well, my Christian conscience forbids me to call you some of the things you probably do deserve, but I will call you this much, a sinner hell-bent.
No problem. Somehow I'm not too concerned.
I don't think you probably are. I got Dennis on the line in Akron. Dennis!
Yeah?
What about it, sir?
Yeah, I just had a question for, or a statement actually, for Mr. Mason.
Yeah?
actually, for anybody who's listening, really, why is it? You were talking a few minutes ago about the red, white, and blue through the veins of the Patriot, which I am. I served 4 years in the United States Army as an airborne ranger. I've been twice decorated with the Bronze Star.
Okay, get your point.
Okay, why is it the blacks try and separate themselves from us? They always have their special little music awards, Black News Hour, Black Miss America pageant. Why is it they're the ones that are...
Where did you become infected with bigotry?
Where did I become infected with bigotry?
How did you get the disease this guy got?
I just see it all around me. That's the truth.
How about becoming infected with the power of love?
I have that from my fellow brother.
And who's your brother?
The white race.
And that is your brother?
That's right.
And what about the Word of God, which says there is no Jew, no Greek, barbarian, Scythian, male or female? It says in Acts 10, God is no respecter of person.
I follow the words of the Ranger God, which I was preached to in the United States military. The government taught me this. Of course, the government has a lot of its faults, but everyone claims the white race is the racist ones. We're not. Everybody is trying to separate themselves from the white race.
James is on the line in Toronto. James!
Yes, I mean, for your guest, he would have to say God is a criminal because he made one race. He's, like you said, he's no respecter of persons. So he's saying God is wrong. You should have done what I did.
Are you saying God was wrong?
What did you do, sir?
No, well, you are saying God is wrong. You're saying God should do what I do, what I believe in.
God started it all. If you're a believer in such things as gods, who but God created the different races of man and set
right.
them each on their own continent?
He wanted them to scatter to all the continents.
Man, in his pride, is the one that scrambled and mixed things up and turned it into the hell on earth that it is today.
Right, I agree, but God didn't mix them up. He said to multiply and fill the earth.
Yeah, he said that to his children, and we believe that that's the white race only.
No.
The white race?
Only.
He said he began with Adam and Eve, the first humans. They were of the Hebrew descent. They spoke Hebrew.
How does anybody know what they spoke?
Well, you certainly wouldn't know, sir. I have a book in
front
of me.
Were you there, Bob?
I have a book here called The Manson Files. These are some of the quotes from Charlie. This is your hero, Charlie.
Yes.
Paycheck whore wears a dollar bill gown to the funeral of hope and love.
Now, that's Charlie, all right. I think he's talking about this rotten capitalistic society where everything is based in money.
You treat Charlie like a tarot card or a Nostradamus. You read anything and into you want to. Listen to this. There is only the mind. The mind is everything. It is Buddha. It is Christ. It is devil. It is God.
Yes.
Charlie Manson said that, sir.
It's genius. It's pure genius.
This is... Not only is the man a psychopathic murderer, he said, and I'll quote this again. There is only mind. The mind is everything. It is Christ. It is the devil. It is God.
Probably talking about the human spirit or the human soul, or as close as we can get to it.
It is God, it is Christ, it
yes,
is the devil.
It's everything.
No, it's not, sir.
I just said it's in the blood.
Sir, Charlie was asked, why did some people say you were messianic when they thought of you as Jesus Christ? And Manson says, I am Christ.
He is a...
No, he said, I'm Christ. Don't try to interpret it. He said, I'm Christ.
There have been more than one reappearances of Christ types on Earth since Jesus. Hitler was one. Manson's another one. That doesn't mean they're the same person. It means they're the same personality type.
Charlie says in this book, Hitler was Christ.
Yes. Well, what is a Christ except a Savior?
No, sir, there's only one Savior. Jesus said on the cross, it is finished. The plan of redemption for mankind was concluded when he shed his blood and he spilled it for you and me for the forgiveness of sin. Are you telling me that Hitler was like a Christ?
Probably greater.
Okay, I'm going to count to three, control myself, and try to come back with an intelligent question, because that is absolute, utter stupidity and blasphemy. You're telling me that Hitler was greater than Jesus Christ?
Oh, yes, in many ways.
How?
He came from nowhere, very humble beginnings, no privilege, none of that. He came from out of nowhere. He founded his own philosophy, his own worldview. He created his own political movement. He conducted his own revolution. He consolidated his own government. He saw all of his own programs through to success. And the only area in which Hitler and Germany failed was in the area of the military, simply because they were swamped by the rest of the world and they were fighting 100-to-1 odds.
I think you left out something like an empty tomb, redemption for humanity, a blood-stained cross, and the giving up of his life.
I can document everything on Hitler. You have a heck of a time documenting the empty tomb and all that. I mean, you know, it's impressive to hear, but I need documentation.
Jesus Christ didn't die in a bunker with a whore by a bullet through his own head, sir. He rose again from the dead, and he's at the right hand of the Father. And that's the bottom line. Hitler was greater than Jesus Christ.
In every respect.
In every respect?
In every respect.
And what about you, sir? You're an ex-con.
Me? I'm an ex-con? Oh, yeah. Yes.
You spent time in jail for what?
Yes. It was an assault. Silly thing of youth.
What did you do?
We attacked a few people, a few racial aliens.
You attacked racial aliens?
Yeah, we thought that was the answer. We were kids. We thought the answer would be to start at the bottom. That's not the answer at the bottom. The answer is to start at the top.
And assassinate the president.
Well,
of course, you wouldn't pull the trigger, would you?
You said
you
that.
You spent time in jail. You want to go back.
You said that.
No, you said that a moment ago, sir. You said that a moment ago in writing your book.
I also said that the president of the United States
would have shot Reagan. You've said that, sir.
Well, if Hinckley, if you're going to take the consequences, you might as well make it worthwhile. Why bungle it up?
But you're not dumb enough to pull the trigger, are you?
If I thought it would make a difference, I would, yes.
Excuse me, sir. You would shoot the President of the United States
I would shoot anybody or any number of people if I thought it would save our white race.
Would you shoot me?
If I thought it would do the job, Bob, I wouldn't hesitate. But I know it wouldn't, so you can relax.
What if 6 months from now or a year from now you thought it would?
That won't happen. That's not your game, Bob. You're not in that game.
Do you think I have any comfort knowing that someone who espouses the philosophy that you have, who is as full of the devil as you are, couldn't flip someday and conclude that it might be in the interest of the revolutionary order to dispose of someone like me?
I think if I was going to flip, I'd have flipped a long time ago. People flip because they're searching for something and they can't find it. That's what flips people, Bob, and I've got the answer, so I'm pretty calm.
And what is the answer, sir?
Adolf Hitler. And Charles Manson.
I am the way, the truth, the life, Jesus Christ said.
It was 2,000 years ago. Things move on.
Jesus is the answer, and you are telling me that Charlie Manson and Adolf Hitler are the answer.
They're today. They're not 2,000 years ago. They're today.
And if you took over this country, let me ask, what would happen to the Christians, born again people like me?
For one thing, we would dismantle this propaganda machine that we have that spreads all the poison and the filth and keeps the veils pulled over people's eyes.
What propaganda machine?
The whole media, the whole government, Jewish-controlled media in this
country,
Western world. We would dismantle that, and the truth would just come through.
I have a feeling that programs like mine would not be tolerated.
Probably not, Bob. He'd probably be considered seditious.
And seditious means that I would be subjected to capital punishment.
Oh, no.
I would be treasonous.
No, you'd have a nice little vacation. You'd get your head straight. You'd be all right.
Concentration camp.
So you could go and concentrate. Get your head straight.
Oh, that's cute. That's cute. What you're telling me is that people like me would be put in the concentration camp. And what about the disenfranchised of society? What would you do with the Jews?
I'm sure they would hightail it off the continent when it became clear to them that we were about to assume power.
And what about people who are handicapped?
They can live out their lives in security.
Security?
Yes, security.
They'd be provided for. You would care for them?
Of course.
You'd make sure there's ramps into office buildings?
Of course, why not?
Because there wouldn't be any ramps into churches because you closed down into the gospel-preaching churches.
I think the churches would peter out the way they are. They are, in fact, petering out. But they
and what about
peter
the homeless?
Out faster.
What about the homeless?
The homeless, they would be cared for.
How would they be cared for?
They'd be given homes. Well, they'd be given gainful, meaningful employment.
And how would they be given homes? Where would that money come from?
Well, we'd get rid of so many of these wasteful projects dealing with crime.
Oh, I think I know what you'd do. You'd
welfare, foreign...
You'd extort it from the Jews.
All this foreign money, not extorted. It's the wealth of this land generated by the workers that the Jews have stolen from the workers.
What
we'd take this wealth and give it back to the workers.
I'm a danger to you.
You're no danger to me,
yeah,
Bob.
Yeah, people like me are a danger to you.
No, you're no danger.
Why do you want to liquidate us when you come to power?
I didn't say I wanted to liquidate you.
Oh, you want to liquidate us.
No, I don't.
Those aren't the terms you use, but that's the philosophy. That's what it's all about. Put me in a concentration camp, that's liquidation.
If everything were okay...
How about a Hitler? Would you have some gas ovens in the concentration camp? Would you make things a little toasty and warm for me?
Well, sounds traditional, doesn't it? In any event, Bob, if this were a healthy society, as it should be and could be, you wouldn't have an audience. because you're making a living off of people's misery.
No, I could spend my time praising Jesus Christ and lifting up his name constantly, and I wouldn't have to deal with evil. We could spend our whole time praising the Lord. But unfortunately, there are people like you around, and there's a real devil out there we have to battle. He's destroying the souls of men, and we have to take him head on to do spiritual warfare with him.
Yeah, but all this praising of the Lord is not answering people's problems. Misery is spreading.
And that's
people are growing more and more miserable.
And that's why we're trying to answer people's problems. That's why I've got something called the Compassion Connection that reaches out to help these kinds of people that you don't really want to help.
Well, a few words are not going to help anybody.
They're not words, sir. They're real life. We put our pocketbooks where our mouths are, and we reach out to help these people, and we do things for people. All you've got is political rhetoric.
You're treating the symptoms, Bob. We believe in taking care of the cause.
And the cause
the
of sin.
Cause.
The cause of sin, sir. The cause is the devil.
Well, we have different definitions of what sin and what evil is. That's obvious.
And you said a little earlier, evil is in the eye of the beholder. So when you can excuse the...
My idea...
When you can excuse Dachau, when you can excuse the ovens, a book involved, you, sir, don't even know what evil is. When you can say that mass murderers are the heroes of the revolution, when you can take a cannibal like Jeffrey Dahmer and lionize him, when you can take a lunatic like Charlie Manson and say he's a hero of genius proportions, you, sir, have no way to determine what is good or evil.
But I didn't create these people. The system created these people.
Sir?
It was the Dahmer, Manson... All these people are backlashes against an evil system.
Sin created the people. The Bible says that the greatest commandment is to love God and love your neighbor as yourself.
Somehow that's not
working. And he told that to people in the context of the Good Samaritan story, and that was a dialogue against the kind of racial bigotry that you talk about today, because the Samaritans were hated by the Jews. And what Jesus was striking at the core of is the hatred of man for his fellow man. And he said, we love God when we love our fellow man, sir, and by loving them whatever color, whoever they are, we are fulfilling the law of God's love, and that is what you stand against because you've got the devil in your heart.
That's been tried, and it's fallen flat. Now it's time to try something else. Let's give hate a chance.
A fearless...
You know, you've got such clever language.
...save a child from the clutches of a satanic group.
Well, you're pretty clever yourself, Bob, but you got my ears stinging over here.
No, I'm not clever. I may be witty, but I'm not trying to obfuscate what I'm trying to do. See, that's the difference between you. You're trying to hide what you're trying to do.
Not a bit. I don't have time for that. I don't have the energy for that. That's why I'm an open national socialist.
You're ultimately hiding what you're trying to do.
No, if I were doing that, I'd be somebody like Rush Limbaugh.
No, the difference, sir, is that I'm really completely, absolutely, totally up front. You want the other people to pull the trigger.
No, I said I would pull the trigger. I will pay the price, but the price has to be worth paying. It's not going to be one more of these trips to a house of misdemeanors like when I was a kid. That won't happen again.
Terry's on the line in Rio Rancho. Terry.
Yeah.
Yeah, Terry.
Uh-huh.
Go ahead.
I believe that Charles Manson was a great person, first of all, with the La Bianca people.
Yeah?
He was not the one to murder it. It was Sharon Tate.
You obviously know nothing about the jurisprudence system of the Western world. The complicity. If you are driving the vehicle, when the other guys go in and rob the bank, you'll be sent to jail just like they will. And if they shoot the teller, you will be convicted for murder, too.
His followers. He had nothing to do with it. He did not step a foot on the Sharon Tate residence.
I said, ma'am.
See, and all the rest of them,
ma'am,
the ones that murdered them.
Ma'am, I said if you're sitting outside driving the car, robbing a bank, and you don't go inside and shoot the bank teller, you are guilty of murder too in the eyes of the law.
Buggy stole food from trashes, and maybe he beat and killed people, but he did not kill Sharon Tate or her baby. He would never hurt a child in his life. You really don't know anything about
it. I don't believe this. I don't believe this. He says I'm a moron, and Charlie Manson says he's the devil and God, and I'm the moron?
Yeah, you are.
I'm the moron.
Yeah, you are. You're a moron. You really don't know what's happening. And
tell me what's happening, Terry. Tell me what's happening.
Racist is wrong. Well, you're racist against skinheads and all Hitler. You're racist against them, so you're racist in your own. So you're living a life of sin also.
So, Mr. Mason, do these typical type of brain-dead fans that you have following you out there buying into your philosophy, do you want her to pull the board? You see, the problem is you won't pull the board. You won't shoot the president. You won't kill people like me. You'll send people out like that to do it.
Bob,
you're just like Charlie Manson.
No,
what are you like, Charlie?
I just told you I would. If I thought it would make a large enough difference, but I'm not going to throw myself away.
Station's down the line. I may skip this break and go to a four-minute break. I've got some things I've got to deal with here. Bert is on the line in Lubbock. Bert?
It's Kurt.
Kurt!
Yeah. I was calling to say that I'm here to support you, Bob.
Thank you.
I think you're doing a good job. I think that Mr. Mason needs some prayers. But, Mr. Mason, you say that your patriotism is what leads you on, right?
Love of patriotism only means love of fatherland, and we carry our fatherland in our blood. We created this nation out of nothing, the white race. And
okay,
so, yes,
sir.
I love my white race.
God's the one that created this world. It's his land. He's the one that made it.
He also created the white race and all the other separate races of man. He did not intend for them to be mongrelized and turned into an ocean of mud.
The difference between you and me is that when I read the writings of Peter, he says that we are strangers and pilgrims here, that this really isn't our land, that we have a heavenly land. We're on our way to heaven, sir. And you want to put down the blood on the blood-stained soil of America with the murder of the people that you consider inappropriate to be in this country, your own roots. The Bible says, my roots are in heaven. That's the difference between you and me. My roots are up there, not down here.
You happen to think the Bible was speaking to everyone. I happen to think they were speaking only to the white race.
The Bible is speaking
to...
You don't even
read
the Bible. How can you even suggest to the Bible to speak...
How do you know I haven't read the Bible? How do I know you've read Mein Kampf?
All I know, sir, is that I do have a picture of the Bible from your book.
Uh-huh.
And the picture of the Bible that I have from your book
right.
is a picture that has a knife blade, the knife blade of Charlie Manson, the murderous knife blade of Charlie Manson superimposed over the book of the Revelation.
And what's wrong with that?
Well, it's sick. That's just bottom line.
Okay.
Johnny's on the line in Hingham, Massachusetts. Johnny!
Yeah, I'm tired of you using the term occult fascism. There is no such thing as occult fascism. True fascism is non-religious.
Well, there is occult fascism, sir, and there are some who are melding the two together.
Brain-dead, pot-smoking, long-haired deicide fans.
No. I got a room full of them over there who will take great umbrage.
With Satanism or any of this.
Sir.
Dark Lord garbage.
Sir, I've got a bunch of Dark Lord garbage people in the other room, and they are occult fascists, and they would take great umbrage with you. They are not a bunch of pot-smoking long hairs. In fact, they're smart enough not to do that so they can keep their heads clear for the true murderous satanic religious philosophy.
Well, I'm just tired of being
what are you?
In with those. I'm a true fascist.
You're a true fascist. Oh, now we're going to find out what the true fascist is. And tell me, is my guest a true fascist?
I wouldn't know. I've never read his books. I haven't.
You've listened to him. You've listened to him. Is here, isn't he?
Well, what he has to say, yes.
Okay, and what are you?
Me, I'm a true fascist.
I know you said that. What is a true fascist?
Follows the beliefs of Mussolini's original fascista party of one person ruled government, strong military, for a white government.
Yeah? How old are you?
18.
Where did you pick up this garbage? Which can you been sniffing in?
What do you mean, which can have I been...
Garbage can! Which garbage can you been sniffing in to get this stuff?
That's real cute.
Well, where did you get it?
You're a real comedian, Bob.
Where did you get it?
I just picked it up.
You just picked it up?
You followed along. What you look outside of...
Where did they hand you a nipple and a cradle? They handed you a copy of Mein Kampf at the same time? Where did you get this philosophy?
Where did you get your philosophy, Bob?
I got it right here, sir, in the Word of God, in this holy book that says to me that if you hate your brother, you are in darkness, and the darkness blinds your eyes. 1 John 2:9-11. Read it.
Stand together.
Mr. Mason, are you familiar with the term cracking? Kraken, as it's used in West Germany today.
Does it refer to splitting skulls?
Splitting skulls, yeah. Splitting the skulls of foreigners and people that... racial mongrels!
Anybody who watches the news would have to be
jumping on their heads, skinheads jumping on their heads, cracking their skulls in the pavement.
The people are taking into their own hands what their government should be doing in an orderly manner.
The government
manner.
Ought to be cracking people's skulls, jumping on them just to hear the sound of the skull crack.
Should be getting them out of the country in a humane, legalistic fashion. The government is failing the people, therefore the people have to take it on their own.
Does cracking bother you?
No. I've had a few cracks taken at me, Bob.
Neo-Nazi.
I didn't take it personally.
Neo-Nazi skinheads, Satanists, and Charles Mansonites only hear from you out there. James in Knoxville. James!
Hey, how you doing, Bob?
Yes, sir.
I'm just amazed with what I'm hearing here.
Yeah?
First question I got, or the first thing I'd like to say is, with Manson and Adolf, I'm sorry, but as far as I'm concerned, they both must have had deformed brains. Because anybody in their right mind, whether they read the Bible or not, know the difference between right and wrong. Unless something's wrong with your brain. Even retarded people know the difference between right and wrong.
Well, this man over here is not retarded.
Well,
at least he's retarded morally. He's not retarded intellectually.
Well, about a person like him, too, that just like Manson has everybody doing his dirty work, he ought to, confront somebody like myself, because I'd be willing to take him down, I'll tell you that. And that goes against anything I can believe in, but it's got me so that I could do it.
Now, can I answer the fellow?
ahead.
Now, I got something else to say here.
You want to say something else? Go ahead and let him answer you, and then you can say something else. Go ahead. What do you want to say?
Everything that you know or that you think you know about Hitler or Manson was told to you by their sworn enemies. You do not have the other side of the story. You do not have the truth. You've been told horrible, horrible things about these men.
I've got the book
designed
here
to make you hate them.
Excuse me. I have the Manson file book. I have the book. No, wait a minute. I've got the books of Charlie's quotes right here.
And what's so horrible about these quotes?
I read these quotes. What do you mean
what's
so horrible?
With them?
Manson says he is Jesus Christ. That is blasphemy. He says
if you happen to be a believing Christian, it might be blasphemy, but if you have a questioning open mind, it's merely a statement.
But you're trying to tell James and me that we don't know anything because we've not read the truth. This is the book written to glorify Charlie. This is a direct quote. So don't tell us we don't know what we're talking about. We do know what. A man says he is Jesus Christ.
Well, you may think he's insane.
But who do you think I am?
But is that any reason to
hate
him?
You think I'm Mickey Mouse?
I don't know. You might be.
James, another comment?
Yes, I just wondered, with your guest there, did he just one day wake up and decide to hate as much as he hates, or how did it come to him, is what I'd like to know.
I only hate those who try to harm the white race. Those people I hate.
Question is, when did you develop this philosophy?
It never happened overnight. It happened gradually. Very gradually. As a youngster, I opened my eyes to things that were going on around me the way a lot of youngsters did. Things were wrong and off base. I just happened to go down a different alley from most of the others. And I bumped into the philosophy that I share today.
I got Robert on the line in Indianapolis. Robert, you got to turn the radio down.
Yes, I want to say that I'm Jewish, okay? Mm-hmm. My mother is Jewish, okay? And I'm proud to be Jewish, number one.
Mm-hmm.
And your guest in the studio is just totally nuts, for one thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I got a personal message for him, and that is if you think that the Jews in this country, in America, are going to stand there and let you and your hoodlums in the other room just march us through the concentration camps again, you got nothing coming.
No, it won't happen like it did in Germany. The people,
you're right. It won't.
The people, when they see what you Jews have done to them, the people are going to rise up and they're going to slaughter every last one of you.
No, you won't slaughter me, pal, because I'm ready for you. Okay, it's like the rest of the Jews are.
Yeah, you're going to need a lot of luck, pal.
I don't need luck. I got God for one thing.
Uh-huh.
Plus, I'm also.
You'd better have God. You'd better have God. You're going to need Him.
And if you read your Bible, according to the Bible, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were also Jews. So why don't you take your time, instead of talking out your butt, okay, and understand that there's more Jews over in Israel that are one of the most smallest nations, make fools out of Saddam Hussein, and this time, if you guys attack Israel...
Yeah, because they've got the United States under their thumb backing them up. Let them try it on their own and see what happens to them.
And guess what? I got news for you. Like I told you, this is a 30-year-old man that is not going to stand by and let you kick in my door like the Nazis did back in the 30s. Because if you do... You got something out there waiting for you.
Well,
you understand what I'm saying?
You just keep waiting for it, pal. You just keep waiting and see what happens.
Yeah, I want to ask you something. The scripture, the word of God. I read it a moment ago. Thanks be called, Robert. I will make of thee a great nation. I will bless them. I will make your name great. And God has done that. He has made a great nation out of the Jews. You and your minions, you and your Hitlerites tried to slaughter them in World War II. You didn't accomplish it. You did a very good job of it, but you didn't accomplish it. Today, they are settled in the promised land, and he is making their name great. And he says, you will be a blessing. God says to the Jewish people, I will bless them that bless thee. I will curse him who curses thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. So the bottom line, sir, is if you really want the fatherland of America to be blessed, as you would put it, then honor the Jews. That's God's way.
This country was blessed until the Jews completely took it over. Now it's cursed.
And how do the Jews take it over?
Subtly, working their way into the topmost
position. No. I want facts. Facts. How did the Jews take it over?
Your program's not long enough, Bob, for me to give you all these facts. All the people at the top,
really?
The wire pullers, the button pushers, they worked their way in over 100 years ago.
The old scapegoat philosophy. You still buy into it.
Hey, if the shoe fits, try it on for size.
Bottom line is, you curse them, you're cursed. You were cursed. You got a curse hanging
okay,
over your head.
Yeah. Well, living in this country, in the state it's in, is pretty much a curse.
No, but we're all bearing that cross. You personally are living under a curse.
Funny, I don't feel that way.
No, you don't feel that way because, as I said a little earlier, your conscience is seared. You were so consumed with hate. You were so consumed with your own vitriolic
narrow-minded bigotry toward the Jews and the blacks that you can't even sense the judgment of God that you live under. And that's the sad part about it. But I want you to know something, sir. Jesus Christ loves even you. Mm-hmm. Jesus, who was a Jew, Jesus on whose cross you spit, Jesus whose cross you want to make into a filthy swastika, Jesus Christ loves you, he cares for you, and he is merciful and gracious towards you. And the devil, who would destroy you as he would the Jews, is not able to do it, because the mercy and grace keeps you alive. The mercy and grace of God keeps you alive so that you still might have an opportunity to be an heir to his promise as long as there's breath in your body.
And all that, with 50 cents, will buy you a cup of coffee.
You really hate Christ, don't you?
No. No, I'm not moved.
He was a Jew.
Not moved one. There's debate on that, Bob.
Big debate, no debate.
I won't get
there's
into
no
it.
There's no debate on that. Jesus
I won't
a
get
Jew.
Into it because
Jesus
I don't care.
Jew.
Well, so say you. I say there's a question. I just don't accept things face value. I got to have evidence. I believe in examination. I don't.
You haven't examined the book, sir. You haven't examined the book, sir.
Books are written by men.
The Bible.
Books are written by men. Men can be wrong. Men can be conscious liars. They can deliberately mislead for their own ends.
Earlier, you said give hate a chance. I say give Jesus a chance. When you said you would feel no compunction, no tears, you said you wouldn't shed a tear over the death of Sharon Tate or any of those people who died, the Charlie Manson murder.
If I shed any tears over Sharon Tate, it would have been on the day she got hooked up with the Jewish Hollywood crowd. That's the day she died.
When's the last time you shed a tear?
It's been a while, Bob. I'm pretty well cried out over the shape of things.
No, I want to ask you, when's the last time you ever shed a tear
for
anybody?
It's been a long time, Bob. It's been a long time, I'm telling you.
I'm not sure you know how to cry.
Well, like I say, it's been a very long time, because this is a very hard business and a very hard world that we're in.
Jesus Christ loves you. Who do you love?
I love my white race.
I'm asking personally.
There are people amongst the white race that are closer to me than others.
And who do you love? And what does it mean
to love?
You
think I'm going to sit here and name names? Bob, who do you love?
What is love? I love my wife. I love my parents.
Good enough. That's close enough. But it should go deeper than that. It should extend.
Love?
It should extend to your racial family.
My family is the family of God.
Yeah, well, that's
and
an artificial
family,
thing. That's
and my family is the human family.
Yeah, that's something.
And God commands
up.
Me. God commands me to love every human being on the face of this earth.
That's something hoked up by man.
You can't really deal with love.
Of course I can. Why else would I be here? What do you think I'm here for, Bob?
Let me tell you what you deal with in your book, Seeds. This is what you deal with. Mm-hmm. Anton LaVey.
Mm-hmm. Yes. That's how you deal with your enemies, Bob, those who would destroy you.
Why should I not hate my enemies and hunt them down like the most vicious of beasts?
That's a good question.
Love your enemies and do good to them that hate you and that spitefully use for you is a despicable philosophy of the spaniel that rolls on its back when it's kicked. It says, hate your enemy with your whole heart. You quoted Anton LaVey.
Yes.
Satan is Anton
LaVey.
Hate your enemy with your whole heart.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because if you don't hate your enemies, you're not going to be worth a darn to your friends.
So I ask you again, sir, one last time. What is love?
The point of being willing to sacrifice yourself for that which is part of you, which is nearest and closest to you.
Jesus said, love is to love God with all your heart and to love your neighbor as yourself.
Yeah, he was talking about your kinsman, which would be a white man.
He said, love your neighbor.
Yeah, well, that got screwed up in the translation, Bob.
He was talking to a Jew who despised Samaritans, and he made the point very clearly. When you love those you should, by cultural standards, hate the most, you are displaying the love of God.
All this love business has gotten us to the jam we're in today.
And Jesus said, when you've done it unto the least of these, you've done it unto me. Unto the poor, the disenfranchised, the handicapped, the black, the outcast, even the Jew, whoever that person may be, white, black, yellow, brown, when you love them as I have loved them to die for them, you love me.
And that philosophy has brought us to the brink of disaster.
Mr. Mason, I'm glad you were here today.
Thank you.
I'm glad you were here. America, be warned. Thank you. God bless you. And if you need hope, in the Hope Line is available tomorrow. Right now, 1-800-223-CLUB is available for you to stand up for this ministry and help you wake up America.
Bob Larson appreciates your financial support. The allowable
amount.
Hang on,
I've got to do a couple of things here and then we'll wrap.
Will be recorded on the donation receipt mailed to you. This is IBM.
I'm not sure you know how to cry.
I don't cry, Bob, but listen, if I were to cry about every horrible thing that's going on in the world today, I'd never get done crying. So you got to pull yourself together, and you got to take a little action.
You always deal with these things with philosophical detachment.
How else
somebody
can
asks you a direct personal question by dealing with who you are as a human being and dealing with your own personal emotions?
I'm doing that.
No, you don't. You deal with everything. You've got this lockstep philosophical detachment by which you deal with everything.
Bob, I could accuse you of the same thing.
No.
If it isn't through Jesus, it's nowhere. Now, that's
you're
lockstep.
Right about that.
That's
you're
lockstep,
right about that.
You see?
But that is a message of love. That is a message of hope.
Yeah, but loving your enemies is suicide. Plain suicide.
No, it's not.
Well, it's proving to be.
No, it's not. Where people have truly loved their enemies.
This country is becoming savage because of that philosophy.
This country has not loved its enemies.
The philosophy of love is turning this into a savage, brutal, bloodthirsty nation.
You always have to deal with it on this political scale. How much is bringing it down to the personal level?
Oh, that's where you get hopelessly lost.
No, that's not where you get lost.
Well,
because
everybody is hopelessly lost.
The problem is that you're ultimately a coward and you have no backbone. Because I want to tell you something.
Yeah, you should have been with me in a few spots, Bob, and I'll show you who's got backbone and who's a coward.
The hardest thing for any human being to do on the face of this earth is to love their enemy. That is the hardest lesson I've had to learn. When I've encountered people who hate me and want to destroy me and dislike
I don't know.
Loving them is the hardest challenge human being,
Bob,
I have.
Because of your belief and your philosophy, have you ever had anybody one-on-one physically try to kill you?
Yes.
You have?
I have.
And of course, you didn't hate that person.
No.
I've had the same experience, and I didn't hate that person either. I considered that to be a battlefield incident, completely impersonal, and I thought nothing of it. I expected him to do that as he might have expected me to do the same against him. But what I hate is the people who are consciously and deliberately out to destroy the white race for motives of profit or whatever else.
Here you are back into a racial segmentation.
That's all there is, Bob. There's nothing but race. Everything else is artificial. Everything else is man-made.
And relationships?
Human relationships.
Human relationships.
Very real.
Love. Companionship.
Of course.
Sharing.
Of course.
With all kinds of people.
Well, it's been tried, Bob, and it's failed.
No, it
hasn't. We've had a laboratory experiment, and it's failed.
I don't know where you have
lived. It's turned into a nightmare.
I don't know what kind of a cocoon you've lived
your life
in.
Turn on the news. Turn on the network news any night.
You've lived your life in this little cloistered environment where you've...
Well, Bob,
you've not had to deal with relationships and people.
That's bull, Bob. You don't know how I came up in life.
Where are your parents today?
They're dead.
They're dead?
Yeah.
You have no living relatives?
I have a few aunts and uncles.
Do you have any relationships with them?
No, I don't.
Why not?
They don't share my philosophy.
And if they, in spite of the fact they are your flesh and blood, if they don't share your philosophy?
Then I identify with my greater family. Members of my
and
race
your greater family.
That do share my philosophy. That is the greater family.
So for you, blood is not thicker than water.
Blood
hate
is
thicker than water.
Blood is everything. Blood is everything. These people who happen to be related to me by some accident of birth.
Blood. Accident of birth?
Accident of birth, of course.
Nothing, of course, has any divine providence in it for you.
I haven't seen any proof of divine providence, and until I do, I have to question.
Now, look at any stars in the sky lately or
well,
consider
what's divine about that? That's
flower.
Nature at work.
Your typical elitist social Darwinist.
Okay. Whatever, Bob, I don't care what you call me. It doesn't matter. Name calling means nothing.
So what makes you tick? I mean, what?
Well, as a youngster, I was opening my eyes on the demise of what had been a beautiful country and a beautiful society. And I hated that. I hated to see what was happening in this country. It was being made evil and dirty and filthy.
But
and I decided to look for the answers. And I found the answers in Mein Kampf.
But what's evil to you is not what's evil to me. What's evil to you has a racial, constant racial component to it.
I found that race is everything.
But what about the evils of crime and drug abuse?
That's brought on by the same people in control of the society and the government. It's artificially created.
What about the evils of lust? What about the evils
thing.
Of greed?
When you have no true ideal, anything can happen.
Jesus?
And they have taken out... This used to be a racist nation, as they charge it was. And that was the core of everything. And then when they removed that, there was no longer any core or any basis. And so everything has since gone insane. It was
Jesus
predictable.
Said.
It was planned.
Jesus
and it has happened. And unless that is rectified, this place is on a one-way road to hell.
Jesus said, from within... out of the heart of man comes evil thought, adultery, murder, fornication, theft,
yes.
covetousness, an evil lie, blasphemy, pride, and wickedness.
Yes.
All these things that you want to give a political context to, Jesus Christ said it comes out of the heart of man.
That's too loose, Bob. It's too general. We have to break it down. We have to understand the workings of it if we're going to fight
it. The workings of it is that man on the inside does bad things.
Because man has not fully separated from the animal yet. And by interbreeding with these darker races, we're returning to the animal.
We're not advancing
toward God.
See, you keep bringing it back to some racial interbreeding.
Race is all. That's the sin.
That's the thing
you're not going to return from is racial mongrelization. According to you, you can be forgiven for any sin, but if you mix up that blood and you create racial bastards and racial mongrels, there's no coming back from that, Bob. That's forever.
Sure.
That's a billion years of evolution shot. In a matter of seconds.
What about all those things that come out of the human heart being replaced with love in the human heart?
Those things have been taken and twisted by, as you would say, Satan, the devil, toward his own ends.
Love your enemy and so forth. What about putting love in the heart of a human being?
That's fine. Love your own kind. Hate your enemy.
Love, period.
Hate.
Love.
Without hate, love is meaningless. Just like daylight without night would be meaningless.
You overcome evil with good, the Bible says.
It's been tried, Bob. It's not working.
Overcome evil with good. Sure,
it's
been tried, it has worked. Hitler didn't try it.
Sure he did.
Overcome evil with good?
And he made it. He made it.
You call what
he... He made it.
Are you saying that Hitler did good?
You talk against the homosexuals. They went into concentration camps, Bob. Talk about drug abusers.
I don't want to
These
put
people
homosexuals
were killed.
Into concentration
What do you want to
camps?
Do with them? How do you talk one out of their particular bent? Huh?
Love.
Yeah,
as hard as it is, I try to talk to them about love and changing and helping.
That's
not
one more manifestation of what happens when the core and the center of a society is removed. Just like eliminating the core of an atom.
So what do you do for fun?
Well, I enjoy my music, I enjoy my videos, I enjoy visiting with good friends, many of the same things you might enjoy. Propounding my philosophy.
So what makes life meaningful for you?
This is what Commander Rockwell said about meaningful life. Fighting for what you believe in as hard as you can and enjoying the fight. That's what I do.
He died with a bullet.
Many men have died. Abraham Lincoln died with a bullet. So what?
You're going to compare Rockwell... The leader of the Nazi Party?
Of course.
To Abraham Lincoln, the emancipator?
Why not? Lincoln believed in repatriating all the blacks back to Africa or the West Indies, so did Commander Rockwell.
Excuse me, I don't think you've listened to the Gettysburg Address lately.
Well, I don't think you've read the Lincoln-Douglas debates either.
When he became
Freeing
president.
The slaves is quite a different thing than making them your equal and taking them into your society.
Everything is race.
Everything is race
to you. And hate. And hate.
Everything. Not hate. No. Universal order, hate, balanced with love.
What you call...
If you would have nothing but love, Bob, the picture of the scales of justice would be awfully lopsided, wouldn't they? Ours are nice and even.
Love and hate.
Love and hate.
So
hot and cold, light and
you
dark.
You do follow the swastika dualistic ultimate intention as it came from its original meaning.
Yes.
The dualism.
Yes.
Of hate and evil.
Yes.
Of light and darkness.
Yes. These are facts of life.
You are then, sir, the ultimate occult Satanist, because that's what
it
came out of.
Okay, Bob, call me anything you want. I don't care. Call me anything you like, Bob. It's just names. I'd like to stay with facts.
Okay. Do you really, truly... I mean, rhetoric is nice, and a lot of what you do is for shock. You're very theatrical.
You do have to get people's attention.
You're very theatrical.
You do have to get people's attention, because if you don't, you're wasting your time.
So was Hitler really greater than Christ?
Yes.
And
I just demonstrated it for you.
Charlie Manson is truly a genius.
Absolutely. Look at his background. Look at his background.
When you die, what do you want said about you? I mean, what do you want remembered about you when you're gone?
I really fought like a tiger for what I believed in, and maybe made a difference. Maybe I helped to put an end to this horrible mess that prevails today.
Maybe
I helped to open some people's eyes.
And where are you going to go when you die?
Right back to where I came from, before I was born, wherever that may be, and I have no idea. It may be just the soil.
Well, how about some of the Thor Odinist philosophy of Hitler?
I don't necessarily... I don't buy the pie in the sky, Bob. I just don't.
So you don't even take some of the old gods That, because believe, that's a lot of what the
if you're going to believe in one God, why not believe in all of them?
You don't have any God.
That's true.
Your God is your own racial identity.
That's true. That's one thing I can be certain of, or at least certain of that.
Your God is ultimately yourself. I mean, you're just ultimately
you
selfish.
Have to look to yourself. You can't go around crying and whining, oh, I need to be forgiven, I need to be saved, I need redemption. You're your own redeemer. And if you're not, then you're hopelessly lost, and I feel terrible pity for you.
You can't forgive yourself for your sins.
I don't know what sin. If I've committed any sins, it's sins of omission. Maybe I haven't fought hard enough. Maybe I haven't sacrificed hard enough.
I'm talking about sins of a moral component.
I don't believe I do in what I do. I'm pretty well constrained to do only what I have to do.
You don't morally
by the means
sin.
That
never
are at hand. And when you do only what you have to do, there's no sin in that.
And because I would suppose that the seven deadly sins are out of your category.
Well, let's see. What is it? Lust and anger and things like that. If you let them get a hold of you, they'll drag you down.
And they haven't gotten a hold of you.
I don't think so.
And you're not.
I'm not hooked on any drugs. I'm not engaged in any immorality, anything like that. As you said, we were joking on the way down here. I'm always mistaken. You brought in accountant and all this sort of thing, cheap lawyer. I'm always mistaken for an attorney, a minister, or a cop. Okay. Well, that's my background.
Actually, I had more in mind a contingency fee ambulance chasing lawyer.
Well, okay, but a professional type, an upstanding citizen. But that's the background. That's what I came out of. And
if you could, what do you want to make this country into?
Well, I could say something stupid like what some reactionary type would say, and just simply return to its glory days. But we don't want to go back. We want to go forward.
The glory days of lynchings in the South.
No, that was not the answer. If Lincoln had had his way, there would have been no blacks in the South to lynch. They'd have all been happily transported to Jamaica or to the coast of Africa.
So what do you want the country to be?
I want it to be white.
Just white?
Just
how are you going to determine that? You understand the fallacy. There's no such thing as pure racial identity. No such thing.
As long as there is today,
which
shade,
walk
which down
shade
the street,
of white?
As long as you can walk down the street and identify this person or that person as being white, black, East Indian, Chinese,
that's
Japanese,
subjective.
then you can still identify race.
Sir, that's subjective.
It still works.
No,
now, there are
no,
places
no.
in the world.
No, your visual identification of pigmentation is totally subjective.
It doesn't stop there, Bob.
All types of shades.
Yeah,
what are you going to have? What are you going to do? Establish a national archives of genealogy to make sure there's purity?
They did it in Germany. You couldn't get into the SS unless you had been checked out going back six generations.
Abortion? We didn't even ask about that.
Only if it, of course, would threaten the health of the mother. If the child was going to be hopelessly deformed.
Or if it was black.
Or if it was a racial mongrel, yes. We don't need more of these people.
And eugenics?
We need to build a better man. We need to move toward God, upward toward God, not down toward the animal
you
the way we're doing
you
now.
You want to move toward Nietzsche is who you want to move toward.
Well, that's fine. I'll settle for that
not
example.
Not toward God.
I'll settle for that example. We want to advance the race, not retard the race.
If one of these guys in here died, would you cry?
I probably would. Because good comrades are so few, more scarce than diamonds.
You call these Satanists diamonds in the rough?
Not diamonds in the rough. Diamonds in the finest form.
Well, God considers them a treasure because they're human souls that he cares about. And so are you, ironically.
Well, that's comforting to know, Bob.
I don't hate you.
That's fine too, Bob, but it's immaterial.
It doesn't matter whether I hate or love you or anybody hates or loves you.
That's right. Actions matter. Results matter. But mere words, mere emotions, they don't stand for much. I mean, if things were according to way all the fine, the good wishes and the high hopes and the great speeches and all the fine programs intended for them to be, we'd have a very fine society. But look what we have in fact. And that tells you what high hopes and good words stand
for. Every time I try to talk about you as a human being, you end up talking about society.
I'm part of the society.
But you're
I'm a product of the society.
You
if
don't
the society
care?
Is sick...
You don't care about love.
Of course I care about love.
And who loves you?
I would hope and I would trust my comrades.
Your comrades?
Yes.
Your political ideologues?
Of course. Who loves you, Bob? Your fellow Christians.
No, other human beings who aren't even Christians, some of them love me. They care about me.
A lot of them hate you, too.
A lot of them hate me, too.
Oh,
yes, they hate me.
Okay, so there it's back and forth. If you loved everybody and you hated nobody, then your love wouldn't be worth a plugged nickel.
If Jesus Christ walked in the room right now, what would you say to him?
Well, I'd stand up, shake his hand.
And tell him that Charlie Manson is as great as he is.
I'd say your greatest son on earth today is really suffering. He's suffering probably worse than you ever suffered on that cross, because you were only on that cross a few hours. This man's been in the dungeon for decades.
You would tell Jesus Christ, free Charlie Manson.
Absolutely.
You're outrageous. You're remarkable. You're disgusting.
Are we done, Bob?
But God loves you.
Okay.
I'll settle for that. It's probably the best I'm going to get today.